Thank you, Father, for your mercy to us, showing us your will, protecting us from the enemy, allowing us to be your children to this day, allowing your voice to witness the earth today. Then Tobit ceased giving thanks. He was 58 years old when he lost his sight, and 8 years later he regained it. How old did that make him? When he regained his sight?
66.
Tobit did almsgiving and continued to fear the Lord God, and gave thanks to him. He grew very old and called his son and his son's sons and said, "My son, take your sons. Behold, I have grown old and I am departing this life. Depart to Media, my son, for I trust all the words Jonah the prophet spoke concerning Nineveh, that it will be overthrown. But in Media there will be more peace for a time, for our brethren in the land will be dispersed in the earth from the good land. Jerusalem shall be desolate, and the house of God therein will be burned up. It shall be desolate for a time, but God will again have mercy on them, and he will return them to the land. They will build the house, but not as it was before, until the times of the age are fulfilled. After this, they will return from the captivity and build Jerusalem honorably. The house of God within her will be built as a glorious building for every generation forever, as the prophet said concerning her. All the Gentiles shall return to truly fear the Lord God. They shall bury their idols in the earth, and all the Gentiles will bless the Lord. His people will offer thanks to God, and the Lord will exalt his people. All who love the Lord God for truth and righteousness will rejoice. They will show mercy to our brethren. So now, my son, depart from Nineveh, since what the prophet Jonah said but keep the law and the ordinances. Be merciful and righteous, that it may be well with you. Bury me decently and your mother with me, but lodge no longer in Nineveh. My son, observe what Amon did to Ahikar, who reared him, how he led him from light into darkness, and how greatly he repaid him. Indeed, Ahikar was saved, but as for that man, he was repaid with retribution and descended into the darkness. Manasseh did almsgiving and was saved from the trap of death that was set for him. But Amon fell into the trap and perished. Now then, my children, observe what almsgiving does and how righteousness delivers us. Stop there. When I read through this about verses 4, well, where it says, "But in Media there will be peace for a time, for our brethren in the for our brethren in the land will be dispersed in the earth from the good land. Jerusalem shall be desolate, and the house of God." desolate for a time. But God will again have mercy on them. He will return them to the land, build the house, but not as it was before. And that's it wasn't built again as it was in time of Solomon, but it was built. And then it says, until the times of the ages are fulfilled. This just seemed to be talking to me of until 70 AD, when Rome destroyed the temple in Jerusalem after Jesus was there, and that was the time fulfilled. After this, they will return from the captivity and build Jerusalem honorably. And then it seems to be referring to the church, unless you take this to mean that into the next, where the Zionists teach that he's coming back, there'll be a Jerusalem on earth, and they'll build the temple of Jerusalem again, and it will all, everybody will come to that, or be involved with that, that calls on the name of God. But if you look at it as, it just seems so simple that it's talking about they will return from the captivity and build Jerusalem honorably, and the house of God within her will be built as a glorious building for every generation forever. And the New Testament talks a lot about God's people being the church and being built together and for every generation forever, as the prophet said concerning her. Then it says, all the Gentiles shall return to truly fear the Lord God. They shall bury their idols in the earth, and all the Gentiles will bless the Lord. Well, all the Gentiles haven't done that. Not every last one of them. But all of them have been affected by the teaching of Christ and the church. And some from all of them have decided to follow, or the majority of the majority of the Gentiles, if not all of them, some have become believers and come to have buried their idols or got rid of their idols and blessed the Lord in truth. And his people will offer thanks to God, and the Lord will exalt his people. All who love the Lord God in truth and righteousness will rejoice. They will show mercy to our brethren. And it doesn't always appear that way. It doesn't always appear that they are exalted. But to God they are. And then he says, now go to Nineveh. Leave Nineveh. Because what's going to happen to Nineveh is what was prophesied by Jonah. But it didn't happen right away when Jonah did it, because the people of Nineveh repented. But it did later. And then it goes on. After he said these things, his soul departed as he lay on his bed. He was 158 years old. So this was 100 years after he became blind. So there's a lot going on here in this period of time. In his life, this is just kind of finishing up here. But some of that we read about. Of course, because he regained his sight. Anyway, and son got married. And Tobias buried him gloriously. When Anna died, he buried her with his father. Then Tobias departed with his wife and his children to Ecbatana to Reuel, his father-in-law. He grew old honorably and buried the parents of his wife most respectfully. They inherited their estate and that of Tobit, his father. Tobias died at Ecbatana in Media when he was 127 years old. Before he died, he heard of the destruction of Nineveh taken by Nebuchadnezzar. Thus, before his death, he rejoiced over Nineveh. And why do you think he rejoiced over Nineveh?
Because Nineveh had taken them captive.
But I mean, he lived there. You know, he lived there, and he lived there a long time. Probably, I don't know, was he born there? But he grew up there, probably. And, but anyway, but he rejoiced over him. That's probably why, because this is those things. But, in Nahum, the prophet says, talking about the wickedness of Nineveh, and says, there is no healing to your destruction. The last words, which recorded here, the last verse says, there is no healing to your destruction. Your wound is festering. All those hearing the news of you shall clap their hands over you, for upon whom? For upon whom has not your wickedness passed and continued? You know, I just thought of every nation that turns against, and this was a vast Assyrian kingdom, and they were overthrown by another wicked kingdom, but they had been proud against God. And, you know, looking at our country today, thinking about those things, and we're destroying ourselves. And the people of this land are destroying themselves. They're turning on their own selves. It's just, that's the way it happens. When people turn away from God, there's self-destruction and all kinds of destruction. And so we're seeing this repeat itself in a form or in a way that's not very nice. Like to think about those things very often, but the point is that it doesn't matter. And we look at this little country, North Korea, and think, what do they think they're doing? But God overthrew big countries with littler things. And it wasn't because they were good people. He just used them. And so we don't know what the future holds, but we know that we want to be honor by COVID. And that's, you'll notice the last chapter again of that. It said, how many things did it say about him? It says he, Tobias buried him gloriously. That means there's probably a lot of elaborate things to do with his funeral. It was probably really a big event. A lot of people were there, a lot of things, honor given to him. And then it says he grew old honorable. So he was like his father. He buried the parents of his wife most respectful. They inherited their estate and that of his father. So that's just one thing you can see that all through the life of Tobit and his son seems to be that they were honorable, decent, and upright people. And that's why we have a record of their life to look at as an example of how to live for us. And another thing here, again it mentions in verse 11. Now then, my children, observe what almsgiving does and how righteousness delivers us. There's just that. That's pretty unacceptable. That, in other words, doing right, God recognizes. God, if someone chooses to do right, it's because you believe God. You believe God. If you're going to do right, then do right to your fellow man, because you know you're accountable to somebody higher than you. And you're going to give an account of your life. And so, you believe God. And you do right to your brother, your sister, and everybody as you grow up. You not only do right, but you do right and you honor them, respect them. And those things are recognized by God. And you help others. And you help the weak or those that can't help themselves very well. And because you know you're but a man. You're just another human being, just like you. That doesn't buy God's respect on you, but He does respect that. He is pleased with that. Or respect may not be the right word, but He does take account of that, and that's something that, I mean, Abraham is called a friend of God, and he's a good man. He would just help people according to other accounts, not just the Bible, but other accounts too, that I've read, whether they're all true or not. But anyway, he was a good man. He fed people, clothed them, he just helped them, and he would point them toward God and do it all that. So, he's called a friend of God. All right. Any questions about the book or the story? Something that stood out today, maybe we're all through it, because this is the last chapter of the start of this story or new study. Thanks to you. Something you'd like to, or anyone else, rather than there, Dave, that might be capped here, recapped. This Nineveh, there was two Ninevehs, right? Was this always the same Nineveh? And this, as well as Jonah? It was, wasn't it?
I understood so.
Okay, that's what I understood. But, you know, there's a Nineveh up in Asia Minor, too.
Yeah. This was the one at least that Jonah preached to. Seeing how wicked and detested those people were for what they had done to Israel and all, makes it, I'm not exactly sure the time frame here, but makes it understandable. We just look at this in Bible stories, it'd be a little bit understandable why Jonah just wanted to run when God told him to go there to preach to them. I mean, he just wanted them to be like all God's enemies. They were cursed up there and just couldn't imagine that being hoped for. And that's why, even after he preached, oh, our God, see this thing.
And it's interesting, you know, because it says that I knew you were long suffering and merciful. And I knew that. That just that very fact that it's the same God we serve today. People can't hardly accept that so many times. It seems like over and over in history this is repeated, that people say that the God of the Old Testament is something else, somebody else, than the God of the New Testament or something. You know. Anyway, silent.
This week we're supposed to think of someone that wrote a song or a prayer after something victorious had happened. And David wrote this prayer after he had been, when he was fleeing from Absalom. O Lord, why do those who afflict me multiply? Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say to my soul, there is no salvation for him and his God. But you, O Lord, are my protector, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke with the Lord, for the Lord will help me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who set themselves against me all around.
Moses' older sister wrote a song after God opened up the Red Sea for the Israelites to walk through.
I had the same as Sylvester. When they were running away with Moses, the Israelites, and they were running, and God opened up the water, and then they went through, and they wrote a song and rejoiced about how God had let them go through and then made it go over the Egyptians.
And who helped sing it? Who was the person that led some of them to sing?
Miriam.
Moses.
I got in the Septuagint the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They, while they're in the furnace, they, one of them made this prayer and another one sang this song, and a part of the prayer that I liked was, for you are righteous in all you did for us, and all your works are true, your ways are upright, and your judgments are true. And part of the song is, bless the Lord God of gods, and all you who worship him, and sing a hymn and give thanks to him, for his mercy endures forever. And that is in Daniel chapter 3.
We had the same assignment, but we were supposed to dig in a little bit. And I got, in Judges 4, it talks about when the Israelites conquered the Canaanites after they'd been in bondage for 20 years. And they went out and killed all the Canaanites by the sword, except one, the commander of the army got away, and he ran by foot and went to tent of jail, and she told him to turn in, and so he came in, and she gave him milk and stuff, and then she drove a tent stake through his head, and then she wrote a song of thanksgiving to the Lord.
When it was about time for Moses to die, God gave him a song to read to the people, the children of Israel. And in the song, it tells about how that God helped them through their hard times and gave them water out of the rock and just was so merciful to them. But then told them how that they were gonna totally forsake him and worship idols and stuff like that.
When Hannah asked God for a son, he gave her a son, and then she returned him to the Lord when he was old enough, and then she wrote a song about how great God was and how he gave her what she wanted.
I got in Judith, after she cut the governor's head off or whatever he was, and then she sang a song to God, and I got Judith 16:14-15. Let all your creation serve you, for you spoke and they are created. You sent your spirit and he formed them. There is nothing which can resist your voice, for the mountains with the waters shall be shaken at their foundations. And at your presence the rocks shall be melted as beeswax, and yet you are merciful to those who fear you.
I got, Judith, same as Daniel. Judith went, the Assyrian army was besieging the Israelites of the Jerusalem or whatever, and the Jews went out there and tricked Hophernes, the Assyrian army general, or whatever, and he got all drunk, and then she was able to cut off his head, and then all the whole Assyrian army went into a scramble, and they all fled. And then Judith wrote this song, it's about a whole chapter. But and Judith began a hymn to my God with tambourines. Sing to the Lord with cymbals. Lift to him a new song. Exalt him and call upon his name. For God is the Lord who makes wars cease. For into his camps, into the midst of his people, he rescued me from the hands of those pursuing me. The Assyrians descended from the mountains of the north. He came with countless numbers of his army.
I had John Newton when he was a boy, or yeah, when he was growing up, he always went with his friends to get drunk and all, and he was captured by a slave trader, like on a warship, and he was in the warship for 5 years, I think, maybe, and then he was in the slave trade for a few years, and when Mary, his wife, got a hold of actually when God got a hold of him, and he wrote the song of Amazing Grace.
I thought about David in the Old Testament. He was just out in the fields watching his father's sheep and goats, and was able to, God gave him songs and hymns and prayers to read, to sing to the sheep.
I thought about Daniel, and he wrote a song after he got taken up out of the lion's den.